And do you notice the timing? The timing was perfect. This case was dead. It was dropped by every agency, every governmental board. It was dropped by the highly respected Southern District. They said, no, there's no case here. It was dropped by federal election. And that's what it's about. This is about a federal election, not a state election. You're not even allowed to look at it. They took the state and the city and they went into a federal election. They're not allowed. The people from federal election, Southern District, and Washington dropped the case. Everybody dropped the case. There was no case. Cy Vance dropped the case. And when Bragg came in, he said, this is the most ridiculous case I've ever seen. And who would have a certain person, again, gag order, who would have a certain person like this ever testify? He said, this is essentially one of the worst people I've ever seen, ever, to testify. He said, the craziest case I've ever seen. This is Bragg. Then when I announced I was running for president, long time later, they decided to revive this case. And it's not sustainable by anyone. Little things like our kids can't have a Little League game anymore because you have tents and you have migrants living on the fields. That's the least of it. People are taking over our luxury hotels, migrants, and yet our veterans, our great veterans, are living on the streets like dogs. They're living on the streets. But migrants are living in luxury hotels in cities all over our country run by Democrats. So
this is smart that he made mention of that, that he brought that up and kept the focus on it. Although I wish he would have done it a lot sooner and more often. But I think every opportunity from here on out that he has, this is what the focus needs to be on, because Democrats are baiting you all into going about 2016, in a certain way. And I want to make you aware of that, because they want you to campaign in a way that makes these independents, etc., and everybody else stay home. They want everyone to be tired and fatigued. And we're going to go over all of this here. It is, I have a packed show for you today. It is a very, very packed show. I've got a lot of information that we're going to go over today. And we're going to get into the weeds with some things, because I want you to be well aware of these arguments that are out there. So first and foremost, the verdict yesterday that came out, this is what I'm going to do today. I want to remind you of two things. Now, you know my background. If you don't know my background, I suggest you Google me. I say this as somebody who has leapt off protest stages and gotten to fights at events, okay? I've dashed into crowds. I've worn wires. I've crashed events. That was back in my 20s and 30s, okay? I'm in my early 40s now, so it's different. I am a brawler, and I am probably, if I am one of your friends, I'm the most confrontational friend you have. Kane can attest to this. Juan laughs. But I'm motivated out of principle and loyalty. I am also not a drama queen. And I want to caution you. There's two things that happened here. Now, when I'm telling you stuff like this, a brawler, this is why that's why I told you that. I think you should listen. The first thing is that this verdict, I don't care what your opinion of Trump is. I don't care. I don't care if you love him. I don't care if you hate him. I don't care if you're ambivalent. It's not about him. And I need people to compartmentalize this. This is about a diminishment of the legal system. I'm going to go into that further this broadcast. That's number one. Number two, stop being fatalist. Don't. I know a lot of people are very upset over the verdict. I get it. I don't like it either. But it is not the end of the United States of America. But what it means is that you have a responsibility. It can't just be outsourced to elected officials. It can't be outsourced to corporate activists and corporate activist groups. It can't even be outsourced to just basically a run-of-the-mill grassroots street activist. Everyone, just as George Mason said that every man and woman in America Every citizen is a militia. So too are you an activist. And you got to start thinking like that. How many people are going to, now let's put it in perspective. How many people are going to complain about the verdict and then not go and take part in a campaign this weekend? That's what it takes, folks. It takes the unattractive, unsexy, unappealing day-to-day grind work. Going out and campaigning and electioneering. And we got some big elections coming up. Not just, I'm not talking about November singularly. I'm talking about a number of different races. And they're all going to matter. You have been put in a position this time for a reason. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? You have a responsibility. And don't look at it as a burden. Look at it as a joy. You would rather have too much, as Jefferson said, too much liberty to attend to than too little. Now, this is going to go through the appeals process, and I'm going to talk about that. But right off the start of the show, there are a lot of good people in this country, and I think the good outnumber the bad. But it takes everybody showing up in November, and it takes you getting involved. Maybe you don't grill that weekend. Maybe you go out and phone bank. Maybe you go door to door. Maybe you go hand out campaign materials. Maybe you do something that is just more than being a fatalist on social media. Because everybody's going to ramp each other up and think, oh, there's no future. There's no, stop thinking that way. This is America. America loves an underdog story. America loves a comeback. America loves heroes. And that's what this nation's built on. So do your duty and step up. So that's first. Let's get into this verdict, because it's garbage. It's a clown show. It is an absolute clown show. I've had a lot of conversations with people, and I've had a lot of people get mad at me. Here's a third quick point that I want to make before I get into this. I'm just going to get this out of the way. I don't care who you liked in the primary. Again, this isn't about you, and it's not about your candidate. This affects all of us. This is a diminishment of due process. And you can sit here and go, but Dana, they had 12 jurors. Oh, I'm going to get into all of that. Believe, and you're going to wish I hadn't. There's no reason this trial should have been brought to bear. I've explained this quite thoroughly. So first and foremost, let's look at, can you tell me what he was convicted of? Anyone who comes and tells you and asks you, well, he was convicted of what? Well, he was convicted of the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. That's an expired misdemeanor. Next. Do you see the point that I was explaining to you 2 days ago and yesterday? In order for this to be prosecuted as a federal crime, it had to be tied to a felony. But they were never told. We were never told. Bragg never articulated what that was. Do you see now why it's suspect? Now, imagine you run a stop sign, but they're like, oh, well, you committed another felony. What? Yeah, so now we got to prosecute a misdemeanor as a federal offense. That's exactly what happened here. Exactly what happened here. And it is untested, unproven legal theory. I will fight to the death on that fact. Why do I say that? Because this is a case that's never been tried like this. I think that ultimately, and I know it's got to get through the appellate court, but I think ultimately the decision will be overturned. You cannot prosecute an expired misdemeanor as a federal case. And you cannot sit here and try to tie it to this unarticulated, unspecified mystery felony that you said that he did. Now, I'll tell you this. I think that immorality is not illegality. I'm not overlooking the fact that, you know, he kind of got himself into the situation. Can we get past that for a moment? That's neither here nor there. It's separate. Compartmentalize it. You're not endorsing any affair. You're not endorsing anything. Hell, you don't even have to endorse the man to recognize this was a witch hunt. They made up a felony that they never told anyone about. They instructed the jury to not even consider it. Just make a determination about a felony based on an expired misdemeanor. That's what this was about. That's why this is so stupid. That's why this case is bunk. It is a bunk case. Now, as I said, the verdict, I think it will be eventually overturned. I also think that Joe Biden personally litigated this, or his team litigated it from the White House. Because they had Matthew Colangelo. He was the consultant for a DNC ex-Obama donor. Miranda Devine had a photo of him yesterday, like his actual photo where he was there at the courtroom. He was involved in all this. I mean, you had a guy who took a demotion so that he could work on this case. I mean, there's a lot of very interesting things here that play into the fact that helped build the case that it was, and it was a political witch hunt. We're going to talk more about that. The other thing I want to get into, too, with all of this, I've heard this used over and over again. Well, John Edwards, Dana. John Edwards got in trouble because he used campaign money. Oh, let's talk about John Edwards. That happened, what was that, in 2006?
I was going to say 8 or 6.
Say 8, or maybe 2008.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about John Edwards. John Edwards was the golden boy at one point. He was the VP ticket for John Kerry. He was a senator from South Carolina. He was this well-respected Southern senator. He was styled as like a new Kennedy, a new JFK. He had all the manners and he, you know, had them perfect Southern gentleman manners. And it seemed anyway on the optics, they were really building him up. Well, then he stepped into it. He had an affair on his dying wife with Rael Hunter, who was a videographer with his campaign. She made video shorts for the campaign and he ended up having a baby with her. And initially he tried to blame tried to have an underling on his staff take responsibility for the parentage of this child. And ultimately it came out, you know, he had to admit that it was him, it was his baby, he had to take a DNA test, all this stuff. So he was swindling this 96-year-old heiress, Bunny Mellon, Rachel Mellon. She's the heir to the Mellon fortune. It's a 90-something-year-old Bunny Mellon who financed all of this stuff. Now, John Edwards was already mid-campaign. The money that he was using literally came from campaign donors. And it was an astronomical amount. The number, the amount of money that was in this NDA case, in the Trump Stormy Daniels case, didn't even make the legal measure of being considered an offense higher than a misdemeanor. It was way lower, number one. Number two, it was his money from his own account when he wasn't even campaigning before he even announced. So there are differences there. I realize that for the people who don't understand the John Edwards case, that looks like an attractive analogy to make. This guy was literally mid-campaign using campaign money, and then he hired this chick and was paying her with campaign funds. That's why they had to remove all of Rael Hunter's video shorts that she made for the John Edwards campaign. They had to take it all off his website because it was a finance violation, campaign finance violation. So they're not even remotely the same. Stop making this comparison. Coming up, we're going to talk about how Ilhan Omar should be jailed, how this trial was literally Biden ran, when it was just a sex scandal with Bill Clinton, Paula Jones and her check, why Hillary Clinton should be in jail. Oh, why Congress should be in jail, because let me remind you of the sex scandal slush fund that Congress uses to pay off people, right? To quieten side pieces. We're going to discuss all of that. We're also going to talk about why rule of law matters. Why people should stop getting mad if you're a Republican and you were for a different person in the primary. Look, I supported DeSantis in the primary. That has no bearing on whether or not this is a witch hunt. I don't ever want this to happen to me or anyone I know. So I'm like purely acting for selfish reasons here. I'm going to explain why John Adams defended the British and how that's important and analogous to this case today. We're going to stop with the ridiculous rhetoric. We're also going to get into what's next. And how every Republican AG needs to drag the ass of every single Democrat official in their state, and red states need to go ham. We're going to talk about all of that and more coming up. Like I said, it's a packed show, so buckle up. We got a lot of content for you today. So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID and remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER. So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it order a medical emergency kit from the wellness company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Is Trump going to raise taxes? Donald Trump promises to raise tariffs on Chinese imports. That may cost China more, but tariffs are just taxes on business which are tacked onto the products that you pay for.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so Madonna was sued by a fan for emotional stress because they were forced to watch this geriatric chick, who's this plasticine geriatric chick, perform sex acts.
Class action.
In heat, like it was hot out. Not that she was in heat, you know, she's too old for that. But anyway, I don't want to see somebody Anana's age out there grinding and thumping. You know, like, we don't need to be seeing any of that. But somebody actually sued because they were grossed out. And I find this story so unbelievably hysterical. Justin Lapellis is the guy who filed a class action suit. They were in Inglewood. And he says, no, you guys breached your contract. And he said, you've started over 90 minutes late. You lip-synced the performance. And you were a giant whore. That's his complaint. 37% of Americans paid a late fee in the last 12 months, according to a report, because Bidenomics is now making fees appear out of everywhere. Fees for everybody. Zero down mortgages are making a comeback. And by the way, this was one of the absolute exact whole programs that crashed the market back in 08 with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the no money down and lowering the criteria for loan acceptance. Three suspects are in custody after a reported machete attack injures one at Times Square McDonald's. Well, it's a good thing that they banned all the guns, right? We need more machete control. Thankfully, only one was injured. But somebody it was a dude who, there's a guy stabbed in both legs. There were three men who apparently shared a machete outside of Times Square, you know, Bidenomics. The victim was not identified. He was taken to Bellevue. It was like in the middle of the afternoon, 1 p.m. at a McDonald's, for crying out loud. And the cicada invasion has people freaking out. And they say we're under attack and it's really gross. I only have heard a handful of cicadas. That is my favorite sound on earth, is hearing cicadas in a summer evening. It's the best sound ever. All right. So coming up, what's next? I'll explain. Well, as we move, our friends over at ReadyWise, they just want to make sure that you're prepared should anything happen, heaven forbid. I don't know, maybe you're living with 40 days of storms like we are in Dallas and your power keeps going out. I don't know, maybe. Or maybe, you know, there's some, heaven forbid, there's another supply chain disruption, whatever it is. You want to have peace of mind knowing that you have meals on hand to feed your family. And so this is where ReadyWise comes in. They have an emergency 1 month supply, 2 bucket bundle, 36 pouches of premium survival food, 2,000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein daily, freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now. So visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Do you plan to request a prison sentence that Donald Trump's multiple violations of the gag order that was in place should factor in that request at all?
The judge has scheduled a sentencing for July 11th. We will speak in court in that time. He also set a motion schedule. We will speak in our court filings as we've done throughout this proceeding.
So it's Alvin Bragg being asked earlier today whether or not he's going to seek jail time for Trump in this case. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this first hour. And it has been a very busy day already, but big news day. And we've been recapping all of this stuff. And I want to remind you as well that as I've said, this is, I do believe, a watershed moment in American politics. But I want you to take heart. This is a, I think it was, regardless of what you think on Trump, I don't care whether or not you love or hate him. I think people who make an idol of their own opinion on this issue are missing the forest for the trees, because this is about the diminishment of the legal system. And there is no way that you can sit here and elevate an expired felony, try to tie it to a mystery felony, an expired misdemeanor, try to tie it to a mystery felony so you can take this out of state court and prosecute it as a federal offense. It's stupid. It's never before, ever in the history of the judicial system been tried. And I just gave you last segment why John Edwards was a horrible analogy. People who try to compare it to the John Edwards case do not know or understand the John Edwards case. And you can go back if you want to recap that. So what is next? There's two ways to look at it. I wrote a piece last night where I was, you know, I was still processing everything. And I said Democrats are playing a very dangerous game in two ways. The first thing is that I think they did maybe one of the worst things they could possibly do going into November. Democrats need the election to be made all about Trump, because that actually does help the left. But instead of making this about Trump v. Biden, they've made it about Trump versus the system. And when you make the debate about Trump versus the system, any random everyday average American can substitute themselves in his spot. Every single person has a distrust of the government. I mean, that's really part of our DNA as Americans. It's one of the things that upon which this country was founded, a distrust of the government. And we also, because of a lot of evidence of the past several decades, have a genuine and well-founded distrust of a lot of these bureaucratic agencies. And as of such, every single person has a grievance. The worst thing that Democrats can do is distill this down so that people can see themselves in the person that's fighting against the system. Because then they look at it not so much as the candidate versus the system. They're looking at it as they versus the system. And that makes it a lot easier for independents to go out and start casting their vote for Trump over Biden. And a case in point about independents. Independents aren't independents because they're moderate Democrats or they're moderate Republicans. They usually hate both sides. But they hate the government more. So keep that in mind when you're looking at a lot of these surveys and when you're looking about how to reach these voters. There's a reason why they're independent. They're not moderates. In fact, it's anything but. But they did the worst thing that they could do to reframe this. Like I said, regardless where you stand, this verdict is ridiculous because the case is ridiculous. Again, you're taking an expired misdemeanor and you're trying to tie it to a mystery felony that you don't actually substantiate. And then you tell the jury to disregard the felony and only look at the expired misdemeanor. This is completely new, untested theory. Completely new. I was reading this piece from New York Magazine, and it was a CNN legal analysis via Britt Hume, who said that, in fact, no state prosecutor in New York or Wyoming or anywhere has ever charged federal election laws as a direct or predicate state crime against anyone for anything, none ever. And he adds, even putting aside the specifics of election law, the Manhattan DA itself almost never brings any case in which falsification of business records is the only charge. And that's it. So it is untested. It's never been done before. And now everyone's asking what's next. So this brings me to where I was torn yesterday, but I'm not now. I want to see every single Republican attorney general across the country drag, and I mean drag, every Democrat official into such lawfare that they have to mortgage their homes, their bodies, their birth certificates just to finance the defense. That's what I want to see. I want full prison cells. I want a new Thermidorian reaction. Go back and read that, because the French Revolution was a failure. But before the revolution, the little period between the revolution and Napoleon, there was a Thermidorian reaction where you had some people who realized that Robespierre was crazy. And they're like, we got to seize from these Jacobins. We got to seize the reins of power from these people and bring back more decentralization and more common sense and, you know, more, a little more manners and decency. And so they did that. And that's what ended up happening. They deposed of them. It was short lived because there weren't any fantastical personalities involved and there weren't any flashy leaders. And people were like, wait, decentralization, what? We want welfare. So it was a little short-lived, but it does refer to seizing power from pretend revolutionaries who are really communists who want to take control of government, but and they're overthrown. We need that. Now, I also realize, and this is where I was torn yesterday, and I want to explain this. I realize that the only thing, now hear me out. Don't think I'm going one way because I'm not. I realize that the only thing preventing this republic from sliding into the practice of full-scale third world politics is respect for our founding republican principles. I get that. Because our adherence, our conservatives to rule of law this entire time is really been the only thing that has kept it intact. But here's the thing, though. This is the rub. Democrats benefit from that in both treatment and optics because they use our efforts at preservation as this veneer for their abridgment of the rule of law. And our government still somewhat functions because at least one ideology is, you know, upholding our commitment to this grand experiment. You know, I agree, we need to elect new officials. We need to wait for the appeals process. But then again, why should we be cautious with our reaction to a kangaroo court? Because demonstrating caution, and I made this point last night on social media, demonstrating caution confers a respect on the court's actions that it doesn't merit. I refuse to recognize the authority of a prosecutor who Rube Goldberg, a bass-ackwards justification for a felony indictment on a non-existent crime. So we may have crossed the Rubicon. Now, I say may, and I think this is important. This isn't going to be determined, I think, until November. I say we may have crossed the Rubicon. A lot of people say they're done and they're finished and blah, 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 and all this other stuff, but then they don't go out and vote. Voter turnout is more of a threat to the Republican Party than the Democrats are. Voter turnout is more of a threat to Trump in November than Democrats are. I am happy to spend an entire week's worth of broadcasts going state by state for a 10-year period, because I've been doing this research for quite some time, and showing you the difference in turnout and how it killed Republican chances in different districts. You just give me the word and I'll go and we'll deep dive into that. I've done election coverage going on 20 years now. When Republicans lose, it's because they don't turn out. This is how we lost the Senate. The Georgia special election. I was there on the ground in Georgia. The turnout was abysmal. It was lower than what it was in 2016, even in the most conservative district. In Texas, do you know that in my district, Beto O'Rourke beat Ted Cruz by over 2,000 votes? And do you know that there were several thousand registered Republicans that stayed home? He didn't win because more people voted for him overall. He won because Republicans stayed home. Sure, more people, if you want to just be completely into semantics, more people voted for him, Dana. But there wasn't more people to vote for him in the district, if you get my drift. This is what I'm talking about. So I say may. We may have crossed the Rubicon. But we're at that point. We're there. That's going to be determined, again, by what happens in November. It's hard for me to think, you know, a lot of people immediately want to say, oh, are we at a civil war period, all this other stuff? We're not at a civil war period if we can't even get people out to vote. Let's do things in an orderly fashion, okay? Now, the reason I say this is because certain fights must be engaged full bore with no looking back. And I think that people need to be careful of such commitments because caution is a sign of wisdom. And people who've never felt the fire of any kind of battle are always the people who are most eager to make the commitment to get into it. So think on this. But which way is right? I have friends, I was in a couple of conversations this morning and last night in group discussions that were cautioning me about the AG route. Dana, you know, rule of law here. Well, wait a minute. I am talking about rule of law. What are you talking about? I'm talking about not overlooking things like just giving out fines. Case in point, Hillary Clinton actually did what Trump was accused of in New York. Now, where does she live, Kane? What state?
New York.
New York. Did Alvin Bragg go after her? Kane, did he go after her?
No, he sure didn't.
He sure didn't. He sure didn't, did he?
They had a lot of more evidence.
Yeah, they did have a lot more evidence. And I'm not even talking about the erasing of the servers. No, no, no. I'm specifically talking about her campaign finance violation.
Yeah.
Let's go back to 2016. She contracted her law firm, Perkins Coie. And through Perkins Coie, what do? They hired the third party Fusion GPS. You remember Fusion GPS? Fusion GPS was the entity that hired the disgraced spy, Chris Steele, sent him to Russia, had him work with the Kremlin. They came back with all this stupid oppo that they, it's like they got it from 4chan. It was almost like a 4chan trick. That's why the FBI refused to verify any of the information that he had. And through Fusion GPS, they laundered the gossip in the press. And then they took the press articles to a FISA court, didn't tell him that it was paid for campaign research. And then they got a surveillance warrant and went to spy on people that worked in the Trump campaign just based on that reporting. Oh, and don't take my word for it. Take the numerous IG reports that verify all of this.
It's the wrap-up smear we played yesterday.
Exactly. They merchandised it like Nancy Pelosi instructed yesterday. They merchandised it through the press. Now, she was fined six figures. She violated campaign finance law. She was found guilty of doing this. And I will add the funds that she had misappropriated to use for this were far greater. It was far greater amount than the amount that Trump used before he was even campaigning, when he was not campaigning, out of his own bank account as a part of an NDA. Very different. But Hillary Clinton, Kane, They never said, wow, here is, and that was actually, hers wasn't really a misdemeanor. But see, typically for campaign finance violations, because it can be such tenuous law, they just, a fine is the only thing that's issued. It's really not litigated like that. John Edwards was so egregious and into the millions of dollars. That's why it was litigated like that, because his was really bad. And in numerous states, and he was like defrauding a 96-year-old widow, but that's a whole other part. But Hillary Clinton, it would have been very easy to say, wow, Hillary Clinton, you wiped your server clean. You had classified information. That actually is a felony. And they could have substantiated that. Here's the existence of a felony. We're going to take this. And the amount by which she had done this, technically, I think it was greater than Trump's for sure. But that was more than a misdemeanor. They could have elevated that and they could have tried her on the same exact thing in New York. But they could have actually done it on evidence and they didn't do it. Very interesting, isn't it? But, you know, even before Hill Dog, you had Bill in Arkansas. You remember when Bill paid off Paula Jones? Do we have this audio real quick? And then I know we got to get going. Can I just play this real fast? Audio soundbite 17 flashback. Here's Paula Jones showing off the check Bill Clinton paid her to shut up. Watch this. Flashback. There's Paula Jones.
Show them the check.
There's the check.
It's your check.
There's Paula's the not check. Going to be saying anything. Her attorneys are here today. So kind of officially, I think what we...
Y'all remember that, don't you? That was far greater. And that's while Bill Clinton was campaigning. So see, that's when it was just a sex scandal to Democrats, though. That's when it was just a sex scandal. They used to think like that, but now all of a sudden they don't. Very interesting, right? It's political lawfare. But it's an unprecedented theory. And they try... I mean, it's wild how this played out. And it's not going to stop there. This was the weakest case against him. Where do you think it'll go from here? We still have more about what's next to talk about as we roll into the conclusion of this first hour. And as we do so, our partners over at Goldco Precious Metals. Goldco wants to make sure, because they understand the world economically is becoming more and more unstable by the day. I mean, you got government spending, inflation's crazy, nobody can afford anything. It's volatile. And you need to add gold and silver, as I've done, as a hedge against inflation with GoldCo. You can get their free 2024 wealth protection kit that's going to walk you through everything that you need to know about the economy and how gold IRAs work. So you can make, it's made very easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. And while you're getting the free 2024 wealth protection kit, you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this program while supplies last. They have thousands of five-star reviews, a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. And they just want to make you make sure that you understand every option available to you to protect your overall retirement and savings. That's a strategy you need to incorporate into your finances. And no pressure. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from GoldCo and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
It's conservatives like Donald Trump who, you know, called for the death penalty against some innocent young men in New York and who want to lock everybody up, including Hillary Clinton. That's not the way I feel as a liberal, and I don't want to inflict any suffering on anybody.
Oh, shut up, Jamie Raskin. Okay. Nobody cares. They called for he's saying no, they want to lock everybody up. That's not the way I feel as a liberal. You're not a liberal, you're a communist. Stop appropriating Tocqueville's word. You absolute communist. Stop it. I mean, you're the people who wanted to lock everybody up. Good night. I mean, we could go down the list. I still have so much for you guys to get into, and I want you to feel uplifted. I don't want you to feel like it's the end of the world. We got the appeals to go through. I think this is going to go all the way up federal because you can't prosecute a state crime as a federal offense. But I also have two headlines that are going to really make you mad. And then I got some silly stuff for you to just take you into the weekend. But I want to make sure that you understand this so that when people go, well, he was convicted, you can look at them with confidence and go, of what? Of what? And then when they try to name the misdemeanor, then you can ask them, okay, name the felony that he committed that it's tied to. Mm-hmm. And then see what they say. We still have a lot to discuss, y'all. A lot to talk about. We're going to talk about what's next. You know, Ken Paxton's going to be on with us later. Because it's time for red states to go ham. And it's time for red state AGs to go hammer time. I don't know. We're going to talk to him about that coming up. Stick with us. You need to be drinking actual good coffee and save yourself money because you're drinking good coffee. Bad coffee gets wasted. Bad coffee doesn't get brewed. And with Black Rifle Coffee, you're getting a veteran-owned, veteran-run effort into the best roasted coffee beans you could ever possibly get your hands on. They get the best beans and they roast them 5 days a week in Tennessee and Utah. And everything that they do, from like the roast to the bag art, everything pays homage to American culture and military history. Every bag roasted in the US of A, you got ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, all that good stuff. You also have apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. And they just have the best coffee that is out there. I've been for like a month, over a month now, into Tactus Squatch. But I'm starting to like slide into some other roasts. I'll let you know what my new favorites are as I do so. But their roaster, it's just the best coffee that you can get. It's never bitter. It's never over roasted. And it's always delicious. And you can join their coffee club and you choose whatever roast you want, however often you want it delivered. And it shows up with free shipping on your front porch. And it's going to be more affordable than the bougie coffee that you want to buy at the grocery store. I'm just saying, you get free shipping. You never run out of coffee with the coffee club. Try it for yourself at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
I do believe the Supreme Court should step in. Obviously, this is totally unprecedented, and it's dangerous to our system. I mean, we've all discussed this before, and y'all talk about it all the time. This is diminishing the American people's faith in our system of justice itself. And to maintain a republic, you have to have that. People have to believe that justice is fair, that there's equal justice under law.
Well, and that's true. And that's Speaker Johnson, who he and a lot of other Republicans were hitting out at this yesterday. This ridiculous verdict, we just went through our first hour of programming, going through all of it. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. And you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast, the video component, Channel 347 DirecTV. You can catch us on X and Rumble and YouTube and all that other good stuff. So we've been running through this. And again, two things that I want to tell you. And I'm gonna reset every hour like this. I get it. that you are deflated and you're depressed and you're mad. But I want you to remember there's an appeals process. Ultimately, I think federally this is going to get overturned because you cannot take an expired misdemeanor and then tie it to some sort of mystery felony so that you can justify prosecuting it in federal court. That's cuckoo. And it's never been done ever in the history of our legal system. It hasn't. That is why you even have lefty and righty legal experts going, oh, hey, hold up. That's why they're all freaking out over this. So I want you to keep that in mind. Keep in mind that America is a country that loves an underdog. America loves a comeback story. We're the country that created Red Dawn, for crying out loud. So this, too, we will deal with. And in keeping with that, you should be motivated to do everything you can to get out the vote in November. Do you want to help? Do you really want to help? Because bitching about it on social media doesn't move the needle. It doesn't. Literally, it's been measured. It doesn't. If you want to help, nothing will scare Democrats more than to see you out there helping to get out the vote. Canvassing. Volunteering for campaigns. I know you want to sit out and grill, but don't you think that you can give up a couple of weekends to go and do this so you don't have to deal with Joe Biden after November? What, isn't that a good trade-off? I think that's a good trade-off. Kane, is that a good trade-off? That sounds like a good deal, sir. That sounds like a good deal. Let's shake on it, all right? That's what you need to be doing. The second thing that I want people to be reminded of, and this is for a certain group of people out there who I love you dearly, but I need you to realize that no one is asking you to endorse Trump simply by acknowledging that this case is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, okay? We're not saying, you got to compartmentalize. These are two different issues. Let's not be the left and throw it all together in one big homogenous soup, please. Compartmentalize. Recognize that this case is nuts. I don't ever want this to be established as a legal precedent and used against me or people I love. You can recognize that without forfeiting whatever you think about Trump. So please keep that in mind. You're not losing anything except rule of law if you continue to allow political zealotry to inform you and lead your opinion about this circus of a case. And it was a circus of a case. Let's not lie about this. So I just want people to keep that in mind, okay? Do you guys remember the one other quick thing, and we're going to get into what's next. Do you guys remember this story? I'm pulling this up. It's the Navy's mantra. And you had, this was the USS Chesapeake during the War of 1812. And you had the captain, James Lawrence. He was mortally wounded by a British sharpshooter. And he knew that the enemies were going to get on his vessel. And his final order that he gave, don't give up the ship. Fight her till she sinks. Instead of maybe flying the American flag upside down, fly that flag. Don't give up the ship. Keep going. All right. Now that that's been established, let's look at some of this other stuff. I had to set the table just to get everybody in the right frame of mind. We went through last hour, and you absolutely can go back to the last hour, because I explained how this comparisons to John Edwards are stupid. Gave the history of John Edwards. It was just a sex scandal with Bill Clinton. We played the video of Paula Jones showing off the check that Bill Clinton paid her to shut up. But that was okay. And Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton lives in New York. She actually did these crimes. Hers rises past a misdemeanor. And there was a felony that she also committed that it could have been tied to, and she could have been tried in federal court, but she's a Democrat. Because it's Kane D. Different. That's right. That's right. Rule of law matters. Rule of law is very important. Now, this was the weakest case against Trump. I have said that I thought the Mar-a-Lago case is actually the case to worry about. I think the Georgia case is... I think the presidential immunity, that whole SCOTUS thing with J6 is stupid. This case was, Mar-a-Lago case, though, is different. But they messed it up. Remember, they messed that one up because they went in and they were so concerned with staging photos. This is the, Kane, this is the influencer era. Oh, yeah. That's what happened. You know what it was. That's what happened. It's the influencer era. And so they were staging all these photos and they messed up all of the boxes of classified information. So they forgot to note what was classified and what wasn't. That's why they postponed and may never have this trial now, because they were asking his aide, Walt Nauta, okay, well, what box did you move? And his attorneys are like, what the hell are you talking about? We don't even know what box. We can't even tell because you messed it all up. They didn't even, when they tried to put it back together, they didn't have the right cover letters to go with the right documentation. That's how bad it was. So they may have messed that up. That was the case that they had that was the strongest. So really what's next is, I know that July 11th is when he's going to be back, he's going to be back in court, and we're going to find out. The judge could, theoretically, and Jonathan Turley was speculating about this. He thinks, there's some others who don't think this, he thinks that what'll happen is it'll be a fine and that the judge is not going to recommend jail time. That's what he thinks. I do understand how others are like, well, we've got to this point where, you know, if you're going to go this far, why not go all the way? You know, I get it. But Turley was saying that he believes that this will, it'll probably be a fine and then there's not going to be any kind of jail sentence. And he could also say it could be home confinement. He could just say any number of things. Weekend jailing, I don't know. I mean, it's the probation process does mean that he would have to get permission to go out of state to campaign and stuff like that. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I think any kind of jail sentence would add more fuel to the fire, obviously. But we'll see. This judge clearly needed to get the job done for his political party. And that's what it was. So what does that mean for Republicans? Blue states are so unbelievably blue. They just operate outside the confines of the law. They will declare themselves sanctuary cities, sanctuary states. They'll refuse ICE detainers. They will do all of this other stuff. But oh my gosh, if you're a red state and you want to protect your border secure and have a secure border, then all of a sudden they scream about rule of law. Fascinating how that works and doesn't, you know, or not, right? How fascinating is that? So I think red states need to go ham. I think red states need to beef up and be as red as the blue are blue. Now, last night, I was going back and forth with myself. Dana, is this going to slide us into a banana republic faster? Are we going to weaponize rule of law by encouraging attorney generals in these red states to go ham on all these? No, because if you broke a law, then by God, you should live with the penalty of it. They actually break the laws. They make up laws for our guys. They actually break the laws. So let's enforce it, shall we? Let's show them what enforcement means. I want to see Ken Paxton on steroids. I mean, kind of is, but I want to see him on more. I want to see Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. These guys are the ones who wake up and they're like, whose ass can we kick today? I need all of the AGs to be doing that. I feel like Florida's AG is doing it also. She was getting spicy on social media. I feel like she's going to be joining that A-team too. We need an A-team of AGs. And every single Democrat that has broken a law, Ilhan Omar should be thrown in jail. She committed a campaign finance violation. The amount was greater than that of what Trump was accused of. And it was actually a campaign finance violation, six figures. She was fined. Throw her in jail. Go back. Try her. Throw the book, the full extent of the law. Find the boundary and then see how far you can go over it until you're restrained. That's where I'm at. So I know when I was writing last night, my first thought when I get really mad, I've trained myself, is to be cautious. So I thought about it, and I don't want to be cautious anymore, Kane. Because brutalists only understand brutality. Do they not?
You got to start speaking their language.
You got to speak their language. My youngest likes to say, well, if you fight fire with fire, you'll set everything on fire. But then you can, you know, the ashes can be used as fertilizer.
That's true.
Right? So I think the red states need to go ham, full on ham. And I think that every AG, a Republican AG, needs to be called to account. If there's a Democrat that has been shady in that street and there's not a prosecution, you demand why. Protest outside of their office. It's time for you also to start pushing buttons. because Republicans don't like to be protested. It makes them super nervous. Republican politicians, they're used to Democrats protesting them, but Republicans, they freak out. That's why they all collectively defecated their drawers when the Tea Party started protesting them. They're like, what? They freaked out. They had no idea what to do. So if they're not doing what you want, protest them. Hound them. Make their lives hell. It's time. Remember, in the cinematic masterpiece, ladies and gentlemen, that is Roadhouse, Patrick Swayze was teaching. It is a cinematic masterpiece. Should have won an Oscar. Don't you laugh at me. Patrick Swayze was instructing the bouncer team, the security team, as to how to treat disruptive, unruly patrons, right? And he said, in all of his genius, be nice until it's time to not be nice. It's time to not be nice. Now, I've been waiting to say that to you for years. My heart just flutters with joy because that's my language. But I'm telling you, it's time. You need to hound Republican AGs. If there's not a ton of charges being filed in every single state by next week, you need to demand why. It is time. Hunter Biden should be dragged. I can think of nothing better than making an example out of the first son. Dems the rules. Look, if they can prosecute people over non-existent crimes, you sure as hell can prosecute them for existing ones. I don't care, Trey Gowdy, if you don't normally prosecute people for lying on a 4473. Welcome to the new world. We do now. And we go to the fullest extent of the law. We Kool-Aid man through the wall. That's what needs to happen. Because brutes only understand brutalism. So make it brutal. It's time for lawfare. It's time to get out the vote and have the appeals process. But this relies on you. You got to be some of the push on this, y'all. I promise you, it's really fun. And then record yourself doing it. Be on social media. That's when you get social media working for you. I don't want to see people just complaining on social media. I want a video outside of elected officials. Why is this elected? Ask all your elected officials. Why are you, Mr. Republican representative, not demanding that the AG file suit here? Why are you, Mr. Republican senator, not demanding that this AG go after XYZ? All of them need to be pushed. You have people. Can I talk about Larry Hogan coming up? Larry Hogan is an example of why. We're going to have a conversation. You don't want to miss it. We've got headlines on the way. Oh, we got so much more to come. As we roll into the bottom of this second hour, ladies and gentlemen, our very good friends, Kel-Tec, Florida-based company, American born and bred. And it's a great American success story. George Kellgren was like, bye, Sweden. And he came to the U.S. of A, where freedom lives. And he created a gun company. God bless America. It's Kel-Tec. And they churn out boomsticks. And they're amazing. They're high quality. They're so good. And they're innovative. He's like a mad scientist, but in the best, most American way possible. And so Kel-Tec, they make all kinds of awesome stuff. And one of the things that they make that's shipping now is the Gen 3 version of the Sub 2K. It folds in half. It's a 9mm carbine that folds in half. Ladies, if you got a Louis Vuitton, put it in your Speedy. Not even kidding. 9mm carbine that folds in half. You don't even have to detach your favorite optic. It's game-changing innovation and super high performance. And they did a lot of upgrades on the Gen 3 Sub 2K. You got upgraded action. You got a redesigned operating handle for added comfort. And ambidextrous bolt hold open. A light and 5-pound trigger pull. All providing improved manipulation and translating to improved accuracy. And they're all quality made right here in the U.S. of A. So check out everything Kel-Tec has to offer you at KelTecWeapons.com, KelTecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Pew Research Center thought that you needed a poll to explain to you that more than half of Americans are following the election news closely and many are already worn out. We're also worn out of stupid polls that you don't have to take polls about. That's my poll, Pew. FYI. A fire destroyed part of Legoland's theme park in Denmark and it melted the famed building of replicas. What kind of horror show did that create? Can you imagine like the melty faces of Lego people? Good night. They said that they thought it was caused by a short circuit. It destroyed part of Miniland, a section of the park with replicas of famous buildings made of Legos. It's in Copenhagen. And the video surveillance showed that it started one of the electric cars that runs on the rails and was being recharged overnight. Legoland spokesperson Kasper Tanskrud said, that's his name. It's Mr. and Mrs. Kasper's son. You know that? Let's see. Also, in Japan, this is like the fourth time this has made an appearance. Orange juice makers consider using other fruits after prices go crazy. Global industry is in crisis. The Brazilian harvest is helping to push wholesale prices to record highs. So orange juice makers are like, well, what about other juices? No! Orange trees in Brazil, they've been suffering from citrus greening, an incurable disease. They've had a lot of stress, drought, things like that, the flowering period, blah, 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 sap-sucking insects, just horrors of horrors. So they're like considering other fruits like apple, mango, or grapes, which all sound horrible. No one wants mango juice. Give us orange juice or give us death. Colorado police officer found a live rattlesnake in a car during a drug bust. There is a snake in this car. A rattlesnake. Like, it was in the car. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store next.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just like everyone else has that opportunity. That's how the American system of justice works. And it's reckless, it's dangerous, it's irresponsible for anyone to say this was rigged just because they don't like the verdict. Our justice system has endured for nearly 250 years. And it isn't just...
How many times did Biden say he's an illegitimate candidate from 2016? I mean, there's a video montage that we've played. They've all said it. Hillary Clinton, everyone else. No, you don't get to say that. You literally did it after George W. Bush won, and then you did it after Trump won in 2016. You don't get to be like, well, you guys created that. You own it. Welcome back to the program, bottom of the second hour. That's recent, just new audio from Joe Biden, who's speaking now about Middle East, and he's talking about Israel's offered a new road. We'll bring you the highlights, but we're choosing not to carry it live, but we will bring you the hits, so to speak. I just wanted to put that in your ear, though. This is, what we've been discussing here is the problem with a lot of these. I think one of the reasons why we're in this position is weak Republicans. I've been raging against weak Republicans for a long time, since I got into politics, since, W was still in office. I didn't like No Child Left Behind because it set the stage for Common Core. I didn't like the increase in federal involvement. I didn't like Too Big to Fail. I didn't like the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac stuff. I've been raging. I mean, there's a reason. Someone's like, why weren't you at the Texas Republican Convention? Why would they invite me? The establishment hates me. People who are trying to ingratiate with themselves with the establishment are nervous around me. What do I get invited to this stuff? Good night. I've been watching some of the Republican response, and I do think that there have been a lot of Republicans, including the speaker, that are able to, they note that this is just, it's a bad verdict, and we've been talking about this. But can we, for a moment, can we discuss Larry Hogan? So Larry Hogan, I had a conversation with my husband last night, because whenever I think I'm about to post something on social media that might be, I don't know, a little flamey, I text my husband, or I'll ask my husband. I'm like, what do you think of this? What did I showed it to Gain last night. Huh?
There's some you can't.
There's some that we can't.
You can't even show it on the screen.
Can't even show it on the screen. Well, and here's why. I'm pulling it up right now. Here's why. In my defense, I saw this tweet from Larry Hogan. Here it is. It was last night. Don't you be thinking about getting a draft of that, Juan. I had a draft tweet first off. Larry Hogan tweeted this last night, quote, regardless of the result, I urge all Americans to respect the verdict and the legal process. At this dangerously divided moment in our history, all leaders, regardless of party, must not pour fuel on the fire with more toxic partisanship. We must reaffirm what made this nation great, the rule of law. I had tweeted, and this wasn't my original response, and you can guess why in a moment. I quote tweeted him and said, "We have no obligation to confer respect to a sham verdict from a kangaroo court that doesn't merit it. Stop being a female copulatory organ and fight back for once."
That was a clean edit too, by the way.
That was a nice clean edit because you saw the original.
I sure did.
Yeah, and I asked my husband, I'm like, can I call Larry Hogan this? And he goes, why do you want to say this? I'm like, because assault's illegal. This is literally what we were texting. I was in my office and he was in his office, different parts of the house. And I'm like, can I do that? And he's like, do you really want to do this? Like, gosh, stop it. He was right, which I'm not going to say very often, but he was right. He was correct. He's a good temper. Now you can see why we work so well. Because I was like, can I tweet this? It's like, maybe you should rethink it. I did. I still want to do it. He's like, is that really though what you want to do? It aggravated me because there's a reason why we're in this position. Republicans, you can't do the George W. Bush Mitt Romney way anymore. You can't be nice. You're not going to nice your way out of this situation. There's a time to be nice and a time to not be nice. Again, it's Dalton. So from Broadhouse, the cinematic masterpiece and a mantra of our lives, once famously and very, very smartly stated. And this is one of those times. This is why I say you need to have all these Republican AGs, and we're going to have Ken Paxton on later on in the program, dragging these Democrats. I want to see people in shackles. Oh, yes, I do. Don't, Dana, your rhetoric. Stop it. I'm done. I want to see the perp walk so long that it looks like a royal wedding march. You know what I mean? Like, I want a black carpet, and I want a perp walk. That's what I want. I want that. I want to see it. I know you do too, because I'm done. I'm done being nice. I've been nice. I've gone against my nature. I've been nice. You've been nice. And what did you get for it? All your money's being sent to Hamas and Ukraine. What did you get for it? You know, you can still be godly and not be nice. Like, they want you to be nice. Just be honest. Be righteously indignant. You know, you can do it properly. But I'm done accommodating. I'm done with weak Republicans. Everyone wants to make this the hill to die on. Prove it. Turn out in November with such a force that Democrats wet the bed. Prove it. Otherwise, all this talk is for nothing. I get so aggravated every election. Prove it. Turn out to vote. Ask, make sure everybody that you know in your circle is registered to vote and goes and votes. Otherwise, you're not dying on this hill. I don't believe you. I don't believe a single thing anybody says until I see what November's going to be like. That's what needs to happen. But these weak Republicans, like Larry Hogan, well, you know, we need to respect what? What is there to respect about a finagled charge where an expired misdemeanor was tied to a felony, a mystery felony? Literally, I want you to realize that's what it is. If someone disagrees with you and they go, no, he was convicted. Of what? He was convicted of paying off Stormy Daniels the hush money. That's an expired misdemeanor. Why was it tried in a federal court? They can't answer you because they don't know. You know why they don't know? The jury doesn't even know. The public doesn't even know. Because the prosecution never said what it was. I'm not exaggerating. That is not me being a partisan. That is fact. And that you can take to the bank. They don't know. So they can never actually tell you what he was convicted of. Now you see why Turley and others were going, these instructions are weird. Because the jury, it suggests to me that maybe some of the jury was going, well, wait, what's the other charge that makes this a felony? Oh, we can't tell you that. You just got to decide on this. So you have to decide a federal, whether or not someone is guilty of a federal crime, but you can only consider this a misdemeanor. Yes, that's exactly what the jury was asked to do. You tell me how that's due process. Now, I get it. There's some people who hate Trump so bad that they are willing to literally commit seppuku without realizing it. And those people are morons. I don't care who you voted for in the primary. You may have agreed with me in the primary. If you think like that, though, sorry, I'm going to pray for your IQ. And I mean that as harshly because I hope it wakes people up. You've got to separate the two. For the sake of the republic, you've got to separate the two, honestly. One does not have to do with the other. Immorality has nothing to do with illegality at all. But rule of law matters. And here's why this matters. We are either a nation that stands apart from everybody else, or we're not. One of my favorite stories of the revolution happened before the War of Independence, because you had the revolution and then you had the War of Independence. They're two different things. The revolution was the thinking and the debates and all of the movement up until then. And in between that time, during that time, right before the War of Independence, really what kicked it off was Boston Massacre. Interestingly, Crispin Attucks, the first person to die, he's a Black American. And there was a lot of discussion as to what triggered, why did the British soldiers fire? Because they're British, they're rat bastards, that's why. That was the prevailing thought, right? These subjugated colonists were done with it. And they were pushing back against these troops. And these troops, just because they're horrible, soulless British troops, they fired on these innocent colonists. And John Adams, one of the founders, cousin to Sam Adams. You need both. I think it's fascinating that history gave us a Sam Adams and a John Adams at the same time. You had one who was fire and one who was cautious. And they were both smart in how they did it. One was bad cop, one was good cop, and it was brilliant. And John Adams was asked, can you defend these British soldiers? It would have been so easy for John Adams to say, no, to hell with them. I'm going with what everyone else says. They're evil because they're redcoats, and they fired on these colonists because of their evilness being a redcoat. But he said, well, let's look at the story. So he worked to help investigate it, and he defended successfully these British soldiers. And what was discovered is that the mob was getting riotous, and understandably, the soldiers feared for their lives. And this is where the fighting words later came into play with American law and with speech, because they felt the need to defend themselves. And that's ultimately how it played out. But John Adams was not making heroes out of the British. He was very clear and he was surgical. He was saying, justifiably, this is what the colonists were feeling. And then this is what the British reacted, because they felt this way. He was able to brilliantly. He didn't defend the British. He was defending rule of law in an emerging country that was going to be established on it. And can you imagine, ask yourself, how successful our nation would have been if our first act as a country that was saying that we were going to be established on due process and fairness before and under the law, by not being fair and denying due process before and under the law. And John Adams knew the great American experiment would be over before it began. That was the first act that saved America before America was America. Rule of law was so important. He risked everything. He was a young man. His wife was pregnant. He was risking everything. And you know how fickle public affirmation can be. People could not believe that he was doing this, but he was so dedicated to the cause of America and rule of law. He loved rule of law more than he liked politics. He loved rule of law more than he hated the British. And that enabled him to successfully make the case for due process. And how amazing is it? Such an own that in Britain they wouldn't have been given a fair shake, but in America they were. Because America was about due process and equality, not equity, equality. Equal before the law and equal underneath it if you break it. That is what makes America great. And that is what John Adams proved. And that is what Democrats denigrate today. It is what Democrats spit on today. And it's why, if you are as committed to this as you claim to be, you need to be doing everything possible starting now, not in November, not in October, not in September, but now, to get out the vote in November. We have Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, we got to do this Florida man who was arrested because we had the fire guy yesterday. The Florida man arrested for a fake bomb threat at a Boston hotel. He's taking his craziness up to Boston, shipping up to Boston. So this guy, pull this up. Boston Police Department, they were dispatched to the Liberty Hotel following a tip from a witness who overheard this guy saying he was going to bomb the place. They identified him as 62-year-old Mark DiPaolo of Naples. And he told them they needed a bomb in his suitcase. And then they looked into it. He didn't. Clearly. They arrested him. They detained him. And he had no explosives, no dangerous items, nothing. They are still, though, trying to figure out why in the world he was, like, telling people who was going to do this. And they didn't say that they were checking for mental health or anything. But I'm just going to assume they probably were. Just going to say. Let's see here. This is hysterical. Disney is literally paying Florida now. Disney is building a fifth park under the new agreement with that DeSantis appointed Florida board, and they're investing $17 billion in the state. I love it. Oh my gosh. Remember when everyone's like, that's a bad move, DeSantis? No, it wasn't. This is so great. So, yeah, it's a new agreement. They're investing $17 billion because not only are they not leaving Florida, they're paying to stay there. So look at that. They said the fifth park is going to be in addition to the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. But that's all anybody knows. And it's going to be a $17 billion investment. And how interesting is that? Look at that. Aw. Remember how everyone was like, oh, Disney's so attacked and put upon. No, they're not. Look at that. Look at that. They're paying. They're literally paying to stay there.
Wasn't there a governor that said, hey, come to my state?
Yeah, Nikki Haley was like, you can come to my state. Yeah, I don't think so. Let's see. This. I really don't want to talk about this woman. She's nasty. I have two nasty stories, and I don't. Okay. Gosh, some of you people that send me these stories. So this story has to do with this woman. This was in, what's going on in Naples? A Florida couple was having a romantic time in an inappropriate fashion on a Naples pier. And when the police showed up, the woman apparently left the man and jumped into the water and tried to swim away. For real. This is NBC2.
Did she escape?
No, of course not. They got her. I mean, you know, seriously. And they were reported to the police by children ages 7 to 15. So you can imagine what they were doing. Stick with us because we have Texas AG Ken Paxton going to be joining us. And two stories that they're trying to dump today that you need to be aware of. Stick with us.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, can you tell us, sir, Donald Trump refers to himself as a political prisoner and blames you directly. What's your response to that, sir? What do you think the conviction will have an impact on the campaign?
Dude, he's
We'd love to hear your thoughts, sir.
Should he be on the ballot, sir?
He can't, like, walk. He turns around and smiles. Was he doing that? He was trying to do that to, like, be a snob, to be snarky. And he ended up looking like a possessed old person in a horror film. You know, Kane says that old people are not innocent. That's what he says.
In this case, yes.
Welcome back. Whoa. Welcome back to the program. Top of the third hour with you, Dana Lash. It's Friday. I want you to go into the weekend knowing that look. It's going to be okay, folks. It's going to be okay. We got appeals process. It's going to be okay unless you don't go out to vote. Then it's not going to be okay. Hold up. First off, you know you can listen coast to coast, stream the radio show, watch us on channel 347, DirecTV, X, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook. There's a chat as well. It's going to be okay unless you don't go vote. And then it's not going to be okay. Then it's not. I can't make any promises. It's up to you. Can you go out to vote? Can you make sure that you know, make sure everyone in your circle, everyone you talk to, make sure they're registered to vote and that they go vote? That is your job. You have one job. Make sure that they go vote. Be that person. Aggravate the hell out of people until they go vote. You see? And don't look. And this is where I'm going to take full advantage of everything that's offered. Yes, it's November 5th. If you can early vote, early vote. Make sure people go out and early vote. I agree. I think it should be a national holiday, but it's not. And Democrats want it this way. So make it to where we have such a turnout that they want to only have one day too. See, you have to turn out with such force that they are terrified of what the results are going to be. And as I've said before, look, I've done election coverage for 20 years. I have been on the ground in numerous battleground states. I am telling you from my experience, when Republicans lose, it's not because there are more Democrats in the area that outnumber Republicans. It is because Republicans don't turn out to vote every single time. And again, I live in one of the most conservative areas in Texas. In fact, our district is the last red urban district. Largest red urban district in the country. Super conservative. And yet the last election, this was it 2022? 2020?
Yeah.
Maybe 2020. Ted Cruz lost to Beto O'Rourke by 2,300 some votes. It was like I can't remember. It's 2,300 something. Yeah. And it wasn't because there are more Democrats that live here. The California exodus had nothing to do with it. It's because Republicans who were registered to vote literally didn't go out and vote. And you can go to the Secretary of State's website and get all that information. It's public record. Yeah. Georgia, we lost the Senate because the special election, the turnout was less than what it was in 2016. It was less than what it was in 2020 for the general. That's a fact. It's crazy. You've got to turn out to vote. So I want you to realize it's up to you. It's still in your hands. You don't need anyone to save you. You can save yourselves. Go out and vote. Make sure everybody can vote. That's your job. And I'm going to say this every single day from now on. I'm going to make it to where you're like, oh my gosh, and you're going to start repeating what I say because you're going to know what I say before I say it. Make sure you go out and vote and everyone around you is registered to vote and they go vote too. Now, that being said, the verdict was dumb. We're going to talk to Ken Paxton about what needs to be done now, because now it's going to be coming on the AGs, Republican AGs. Thankfully, we have some generals out there, good generals, and we're going to talk to Ken Paxton about this. But remember, America loves a comeback story. America loves an underdog. And America was born with a fighting spirit, and we respect rule of law. So keep that in mind, okay? Keep that in mind. It's not, I don't want you all to be like defeated and all that stuff. That's what Democrats want you to feel like. Stop it. Do not give in to them. Do not give in to them. You're tougher than this. Come on. Now, that being said, there's a couple of stories that, because we've been talking a lot about the verdict, that I need you to pay attention to, because what do we always say? Whenever stuff like this happens, this is when they choose to drop the other stuff, right? Because they know you're watching what's happening over here and they're going to drop stuff over here. That's how it always works. And today is, and it being a Friday, yeah, no exception. I want you to listen. This is a soundbite that isn't getting a lot of play right now. It's from Anthony Blinken. And so Anthony Blinken he's giving a press conference because something came out about what Ukraine is being allowed to do with U.S. weapons. And it's troubling because what could this be used to constitute? You have to think about this. So apparently we are allowing Ukraine to use U.S. weapons against Russia and on Russian soil. Listen to this audio soundbite because Blinken confirms it.
With regard to the use of U.S. arms by Ukraine and Russia, I said this the other day. The hallmark of our engagement, our support for Ukraine over these more than 2 years, has been to adapt and adjust as necessary to meet what's actually going on the battlefield, to make sure that Ukraine has what it needs when it needs it. To do that deliberately and effectively. And that's exactly what we're doing in response to what we've now seen in and around the Kharkiv region. Over the past few weeks, Ukraine came to us and asked for the authorization to use weapons that we're providing to defend against this aggression, including against Russian forces that are massing on the Russian side of the border and then attacking into Ukraine. That went right to the president. And as you've heard, he's approved the use of our weapons for that purpose.
Politico first broke this story. They said in the last few days, the U.S., now this is a change of course. It's a big reversal. They said that the United States made the decision to allow Ukraine, quote unquote, flexibility to defend itself from attacks on the border near Kharkiv. And that's now confirmed by Antony Blinken. They said that Ukraine can now use American-provided weapons like rockets and rocket launchers to shoot down Russian missiles heading towards Kharkiv. Now, why is this a shift? There is an exclusion, by the way. The official said Ukraine cannot use those weapons to hit civilian infrastructure or launch long-range missiles like the Army tactical missile system to hit military targets deep inside Russia. I'm sure that that's all going to be followed, I'm sure. Now, it's a big reversal and important because the administration previously opposed this because they said it would escalate the war. And they claimed that it would directly involve the U.S. in the fight. Now they've done a complete 180. The NSC, the National Security Council, was asked why the reversal. They have not responded. Antony Blinken's was the first response here. He supported the lift of restrictions on this from the beginning. He was the first one to hint, and this was a piece. They first started reporting this a couple of days ago because they said that Blinken's language was signaling an openness to allowing Ukraine to hit Russia with U.S. weaponry. Now, even they said that that NSC's John Kirby, when had previously in discussing it, when he touched on it in other press conferences, he didn't rule out a change. They noticed they started very subtly shifting on this messaging. Now, other U.S. allies like the U.K. and France said Ukraine would have the right to attack inside Russia using Western weapons. They've maintained that Ukraine should be able to have the right to do this. It is a huge shift, and they're attributing worsening conditions for Ukraine on the battlefield as like Russian advances, and they have a better position in Kharkiv now, that apparently is what led Biden and the administration to do a 180 on this. So now the question is Russia going to claim that this constitutes direct U.S. involvement? Does it constitute direct U.S. involvement? I mean, it's more than just arms. It's missiles and rocket launchers. Now, they're saying it can only be used to hit their missiles and rocket launchers, and they can't do, you know, deep attacks inside. But do you believe that? Right? I mean, that gets into, that's like a quasi-fungibility argument, right? I don't know. But that story came out. They waited for all this to happen to officially confirm that. Interesting, is it not? Don't you find that interesting? They waited till all that came out before they started, before they confirmed it. So that's one of the big stories that we're watching. The other big story, and this squeaked out today. Did you hear about this? Half of U.S. job gains may be from illegal immigration. Now, one of the things with the last jobs report that we noticed, Kane, where were the biggest job gains that they measured?
In government.
In government. They've expanded government so much, which means more government spending, which they're going to claim means they need more taxes. They've expanded government so much that the biggest job gains are not from the private sector. It's literally from the government. And now comes the other shoe. Half of U.S. jobs, reports Reuters, may be from illegal immigration. Half of these job gains. Government jobs and illegal immigration. They noted that there were several economists and analysts that put together this study. And it's based on what they said is detailed data from Customs and Border, U.S. citizenship and immigration. And they were also looking at different measures with the labor market. And they're saying the labor market is not as strong as the Biden administration's making it out to be. And here's why. They said, here's the other thing. They're saying that right now, the reason that they argue that half of U.S. job gains may be from illegal immigrants is because they think that's an actual they're underreporting that. The suggestion is that it may be way more than half. That's why the may is there. The may is there not because they think that that's a stretch to say. It's because they think it's way far greater than that. Now, how did the analysts define what was an illegal immigrant and what wasn't? Because you know the government always has to say undocumented immigrant. If you literally entered illegally and you're not a refugee and all of that, or an official U.S. asylee, et cetera, then that's how they're counting it. Oh, my gosh. And so they said that this has been crazy. So they're trying to spin these numbers to you to give you a false sense of contentment, to make you think that the administration is doing better than it is with regards to jobs, when they're all coming from the government and now illegal immigration. That's wild. That squeaked in today. They were hoping that you wouldn't notice this stuff. They thought maybe by dropping it on a Friday, the day after this verdict, that it would go by unnoticed from you. You're too smart for that, though.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the hail in Texas was so big Tuesday that they actually created a new description. DVD-sized hail. Wow. It was huge. I thought we were going to have hail damage too because we got just hammered by it. It's been like, it's been raining for I don't know how many days. I'm about to build an ark. I feel like it's almost needed. So they said it was the hail was 5 inches in diameter, and it was the first such warning. It was the first such warning since 2010 for like hail that size in Texas. That's insane. I can't believe this is a headline. People are licking supermarket eggs in hopes of getting food infection and getting compensation. And apparently, this is happening all over in Russia. There was this Russian supermarket chain that announced that they would pay 1 million rubles to each person that got food poisoning from their products. And apparently people have been going out licking the eggs at the store. That's so nasty. The hell is wrong? Well, it's Russia. What's wrong with people? I don't know. Girlfriend spiked a boyfriend's sweet tea with antifreeze so she could collect a $30 million inheritance that did not exist because he lied to her about it. Wow. A 48-year-old woman in North Dakota, she may spend the rest of her life in jail because she killed what was her husband now. She poisoned him. She put antifreeze in his drink because she thought he had told her while they were dating that he had this huge inheritance, and he didn't. And she realized it. It only came to light after she killed him. Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know. That's... In Amsterdam, someone fell into a jet plane engine. How do you fall into, isn't it sideways? Like how do you fall into it? Like, do you fall sideways? Like, how does that work? They said that they fell into a jet engine at an Amsterdam airport, and the crew and passengers that were on the plane were removed safely. And then they're investigating into exactly what happened. That's kind of wild. Oh, gosh. All right. So we have Attorney General Ken Paxton. He joins us next to discuss how red state AGs can take head on this fight. Stick with us.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this third hour, and you can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast as well, Channel 347 DirecTV. Find us on X and Rumble and YouTube. We're all across the country. 10.2 million people tune in every single afternoon. So we've been talking about this verdict and the next steps. And I think that it's time for all of the other Republican AGs out there to join the Republican AG leaders, people like Texas's own Ken Paxton, and start pushing back on this stuff. Why can't red states go ham like blue states have gone? Joining us now is Texas's Attorney General Ken Paxton, who knows exactly what witch hunt trials are like, trials brought without evidence, smear tactics, and he had to endure it in his own state, and we covered that for months. Attorney General, a pleasure to have you, sir. thank you for making some time for us today. We know you've been real busy. He joins us by phone. I wanted to get your response to this because a lot of people are now looking. Well, you've already been doing this, but a lot of people have been looking now to Republican attorney generals and saying they're going to have to lead the fights on this. And why not? Why can't red states do what blue states have been doing and become sanctuaries for conservatives?
You know, I think that's exactly what needs to happen. People need to stop. Stop. I mean, they're going to have to leave these states and get out of, even in my state, get out of counties that are Democratic counties where you are subject to being prosecuted or persecuted, basically. And it's sad that that's the way things have gone, and that's the way things are in America. But it's the reality. You have to get out of states where they'll come after you for political reasons, and you have to get out of counties. Even in, like, you know, where I'm at, they sent me to Harris County, which is very liberal, and mm-hmm. we're always at risk in Travis County, which is very liberal. So it really is a challenge, and it's sad that that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's incredibly sad. And with this, because there really is now, I think it's safe to say that political persecution and weaponizing the legal system to do it, that's all that it's been underway. It's here. That's our reality now. I think that's I don't think that that's a hyperbole to say that.
No. It's, you know, it's been building over the years. You know, in our state, they went after Kay Bailey Hutchison. They went after Rick Perry. They went after Tom DeLay. But now, and they went after me. But it is becoming their way of handling politicians that they disagree with who are successful and they can't beat at the ballot box. And so even with their, you know, voter fraud, they still can't always win these races. And so this is a new strategy. Just make them go through some type of prosecution and convict them.
Yeah. We're talking with a Republican AG from the great Republic of Texas, Ken Paxton. A lot of people are saying, well, we need to now start looking at Democrat officials in red states and let's put the full use of law towards them instead. And let's, you know, like I in cases where charges can be brought or in states where we can bring charges against some of these Democrat officials for whatever illegality or perceived illegality, let's do it, because brutes only understand brutal reactions. And last night, you know, I was very cautious, General, in thinking about this. I actually endorse this. Is that too far? Is that something that's realistic? Because honestly, I don't know how else you get through to these Democrats.
So the difference is we wouldn't prosecute them for not violating a law. We would actually have to find things that, and I think that's legit, that we start at least putting them through the ringer on whether they've done things wrong and making sure that if they have, they are prosecuted. Again, though, if they live in the wrong county in Texas, for instance, I have no authority to prosecute unless it's referred to me. So if the Democrats live in liberal counties with liberal Democrats or even Republicans who just don't want to do this, then there's nothing I can do until the legislature fixes this, which they need to do. There's nothing like I can do in my state.
What would the legislature need to do? And should other red, and for all our listeners across the country, they need to make sure that this is possible in their state too, then?
Yes. So many states, the attorney general has original jurisdiction to prosecute all kinds of crimes. In Texas, we're not like that. It's all the district attorneys have to be the ones that prosecute or refer it to me. And so what that leaves us open to is in the liberal counties controlled by Soros, these DAs can decide not to prosecute or they can politically prosecute. And there's no backup. There's no accountability. And the legislature so far has chosen, Republican legislatures chosen not to protect us from that.
Well, this last election, because we just had some runoff elections, and unfortunately, the speaker that was leading the witch hunt, wasting taxpayer dollars, harassing you, survived, although he lost a lot of allies. And I'm hoping that means he loses vote for speakership next time. But does that mean that that's going to be possible with the makeup now that that's going into the state legislature, at least in Texas?
So the first thing is the only reason he won is he got 3,000 Democratic votes. They spent over $10 million getting Democrats to vote. Otherwise, he lost the Republican vote. If it was based on Republican vote, he lost. But
yeah.
I think there
we have open primaries, which is changing now, too.
Yep. So I think, you know, going forward, I don't know what's going to happen. The House is going to be very close on the number of Republicans that will do the right thing versus the wrong thing. So there's guys like, you know, Jeff Leach, who will definitely go the wrong way, or Dustin Burroughs. We've got some really bad Republicans still around that will push, that are trying to push Dade back into power and at least to retain his power. But we also have a lot of new Republicans that we just elected. We took out 24 incumbents, plus we already had, you know, probably 10 or 15. So it's going to be close. And I think if people are speaking out and highlighting this, we can win this.
Ooh, and it's winnable. As I've been telling people, you know, when Republicans lose, it's because Republican voters don't turn out. That's always the case. Talking with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, because I tell people if they can go after you, if they can go after former President Trump, they can really ultimately go after anyone, because the verdict, this was untested legal theory in which they were taking an expired misdemeanor, trying to tie it to some mystery felony, and then ta-da, that way they can justify putting it in federal court. So if they're able to charge Republicans with crimes that don't even exist, well, then we can throw the full book at people like Hunter Biden or Ilhan Omar for her campaign violations that were greater in financial amount than what Trump was being accused for. Why isn't she in jail?
Well, same thing. She's in a county in New York where the DA is not going to go after her. And in New York, I think the New York AG has some jurisdiction as well. And of course, they're liberal there. So they're protected, right? They go to places that they are protected. And that's part of the problem. They can hide.
Yeah, they can hide. We're talking again with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. And this is, and you know, Texas full of blue cities, you know, obviously Austin, which we've seen, which involves a lot of, because even in red states, this can happen. You can have corrupt counties, corrupt districts, even in red states, which is why voting is so unbelievably important. General, what can voters do right now? Because the fight isn't in October and it's not in September. The fight starts now in order to have victory in November. What would you tell voters listening? What can they do right now in their state, other than showing up to vote and making sure that everyone they know who can vote votes, to get prepared to, because we got to take back these seats. We got to run these people out. It has to start with that. We have the appeals process, but people need to get they need to go ham on this election is what I'm thinking. What else would you have them do?
Well, and first of all, you're right about, we do have counties like Harris County, which is where they sent me to be prosecuted. Mm-hmm.
For the reason, because they knew they knew they'd go after you in Harris County.
They took me out of my own county illegally, sent me to a Democratic county and tried to do what they are doing to Trump by giving me liberal Democratic judges, liberal jury, and no appeal all the way up. It's all, you know, liberal judges. So it's being done in Texas as well. They just maneuver it to pull you out of your own county. So I was in a good county and I got moved. Illegal. Mm-hmm. So they still, even if you're in the right place, these guys don't follow any rules or laws. So I think the key for voters right now is to pay attention to what's going on, at least in like Texas. And I think this would be true everywhere. Pay attention to what's going on with your elected representatives. In our case, we need to make sure that Dade Phelan doesn't get reelected as speaker. And we need to tell our reps, if you're going to vote for Dade Phelan, we are going to primary you like we primaried the 24 people that we took out this time.
Exactly. And they all need to be primaried. I tell people Republicans freak out when Republican voters protest them. And it's time that we start seeing some of that with these weak officials. Is there any plan, General, for maybe like, I don't know. And again, this is just day after brainstorming, some kind of consortium of other Republican attorney generals like yourself and Republican governors as a way to come together to figure out how to work together to create a unified red states to push back against the lawlessness of the blue states, because blue states, you know, they set up sanctuary cities. They allow for sanctuary policies. They ignore ICE detainers. But then, heaven forbid, if you, and this is one of the reasons why they went after you, if you try to protect Texas's borders, oh my gosh, then they try to make up some non-existent rule of law for why you can't do that. So red states need to be as strong as blue states. Is there any kind of like proposition for teamwork in play in the future to maybe come together and make that happen?
There isn't so far, but there certainly could be, because you have an association of Republican governors, you have an association of Republican attorney generals, and there's no reason that should not be a topic, a major focus of each of these groups to try to figure out how do we work together to protect ourselves from the illegal prosecutions and from persecutions, and then what do we do to fight back? How do we make them suffer if they're going to illegally prosecute us?
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. Well, I am so glad. I just have to say thank you for your fight. And you were still out there fighting even when they were trying to silence you and wrap you up with everything. But this is real. I mean, this lawfare, this legal persecution is real. And I want people to realize that they can go after our attorney general. And if this can be done to the former president, my gosh, this can be done to the average everyday person. It's scary. Attorney General Ken Paxton, we so appreciate your time with us. Thank you for making some time today. We know you've been very busy and we look forward to talking with you again soon. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Dana, thank you. And remember, Benjamin Franklin said, if we don't hang together, we're all going to hang alone. That's really true.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Thank you, sir. We're going to keep following this case, folks, and because, you know, July 11th is when we find out, you know, ultimately, what's that judge Merchan going to do? Are we going to have a situation where, I mean, it's going to appeal, but maybe is it going to be a fine? What are they going to do? Probation, obviously. There's a lot of questions that are still up in the air. But that being said, I think that your job pushing back on this begins this weekend. It begins this weekend. Find out where you can volunteer for a campaign. If you think about this for a minute, before we go to break, I want you to think about this. Imagine so many Republicans, conservatives, independent constitutionalists, they all start volunteering to get out the vote. Do you know what that looks like to Democrats? You know how terrifying that would be? Or to weak Republicans? And look, I'm going to add this too. Maybe you don't like the hand that you have been given to play in November. But that doesn't change the hand that you have to play in November, whether or not you like it, correct? So you can view it as an opportunity to advance the best opportunity you have to advance what you want to see go forward in terms of agenda or not. Democrats don't want you to compartmentalize this. They want you to think that you are endorsing absolutely everything under the sun if you cast a vote this way or if you volunteer for this campaign. Do not take that bait. They are baiting you to stay home. They are baiting you and trying to emotionally blackmail you when they know it's not true. When you cast a vote and when you volunteer for a campaign, you are advocating for the best vehicle in which to put your agenda and get it forward. That is how you have to look at it. Do not allow these godless people to determine your level of godliness. We have a lot more to get to as we wrap up this third hour.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I did my job. Our job is to follow the facts and the law without fear or favor. And that's exactly what we did here. And what I feel is just gratitude to work alongside phenomenal public servants
who
do that each and every day in matters that you all write about and make the press, and in lots of matters that you don't. I did my job. We did our job. Many voices out there. The only voice that matters is the voice of the jury, and the jury has spoken.
No, the only voice that matters is the voice of the voter, and the voter will speak on November 5th. Welcome back to the program, Dana Loesch, with you. And like I said, you know, we got the appeals. Ultimately, I think this is going to be overturned federally because it's just so goofy. And I want you to remember, you have an amazing opportunity. You were made for such a time as this. I want you to make sure, start asking tonight, make sure everyone in your household can vote. And you get prepared, and then you start spreading out from there. I want to hear y'all talk about it. Keep me updated. I want to know about it, because this is your responsibility. This is what you need to be doing. And you need to be raining hell on any Republican in your state that is not going. I'm telling you, I think you need, when you're donating money, you need to give directly to candidates, and I think you need to give a lot of money to House candidates and Senate candidates, because it doesn't matter what. What happens with the White House, I mean, Trump had a record haul. He's got legal bills he's got to pay too. That we need to make sure that we can still win the House and Senate, or at least maintain in House and Senate. That's very important. Do not give to PACs. Give directly to the candidates. And pay attention to the limits. It's very easy. You know, you got individual limits, limits for couples. Just be mindful of that. And make sure that you give to the candidates directly. That is super important. Even if it's like $5, you know, you got to make sure that you're doing that. Well, quick thing too. Remember, Ilhan Omar funneled over $1 million in campaign cash to the guy that she was sleeping around with, and then she married him. She got all that money. Where's that charge at?
Is that her brother?
Yeah, the brother. No, I think she was married to the brother. This is the guy's. I don't know. Actually, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm so confused, right? Yeah. It's like a Jerry Springer show, that one. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, as you know, Russia and NATO had an agreement back in the 90s. I remember that. And, well, NATO hasn't been great about holding that up. This is Blinken talking about it. Listen.
As the Allies agreed and made clear at Vilnius, the last summit, Ukraine will become a member of NATO. And our purpose now...
They're baiting World War III. What other way can you conclude? I mean, honestly, this is just stupid.
Folks, remember who's in control. I want you to have a good weekend. I'll keep you updated. You know, if something big happens, if you sign up at Substack, Chapter and Verse, I'll send you notice through that or on Facebook. Have a wonderful weekend. And remember, the power's in your hands. We'll be back together on Monday.